Hey everyone, we are back for part two of this latest episode of the Vasculitis Visionaries podcast. We are continuing our conversation today with Dr. William Pendergraft, who's at the Integrative Medical Clinic of North Carolina, where he's their chief executive officer there. And we'll also be joined by a guest we've had on before as part of our young adults conversation, and that is Brandon Hudgens, who is also in North Carolina today. You might know him from the Victory Over Vasculitis campaign. Proud to call him a friend, fellow vasculitis patient with Kaylee and myself. And Kaylee, it should be a lot of fun today because as we kind of started to dive into our chat about just the whole idea of holistic approaches to health and how that can apply to vasculitis, we'll now see that applied to a patient in Brandon Hudgens, who not only has GPA like yourself, but is an Olympic level athlete, somebody who has been in qualification for the Olympics in the past, is attempting to do that for whenever the Olympics are actually held, if that's ends up being 2021 or whenever. But a pretty inspiring story is Brandon, and I'm curious to see now how his story intertwines with Dr. Pendergraft, because those two have worked pretty closely with one another over the years.
Definitely. And I think that it's going to be interesting. You talked about how this can kind of be a case study for the clinic, but also, it sort of can't be just because Brandon is such an exceptional athlete, but also a special case in terms of what he needs from medical providers. So I think it'll be interesting to get, the kind of case study perspective, but also just understanding, what is it about really unique patients that, might specifically lend themselves to this type of treatment.
Yeah, and you think about Brandon too, and again, we'll get into this, but he's someone who's had a lot of relapses. He's had a lot of bad luck as it comes to your post-remission world, so to speak. And so something like this, a type of therapy that can potentially help out when you add it on to your existing therapies. And so I want to hear from Brandon just where on the sphere that all fit in, because it's a reality that a lot of us patients face. I mean, we all still struggle with that post quote unquote remission world. Even if you're chemically in remission, you might not feel that way, as you certainly know, Kaylee.
Yes, definitely. And I think we talked a little bit about in part one about how one of the really interesting parts of the Integrative Medical Clinic of North Carolina is that they look not only at those titers and those other measures of clinical remission, but also as how you're feeling as a patient and what that really means for your remission. So I think it'll be a really interesting kind of holistic conversation.
Right. No, you're totally on point with that, as we will after this bring in our guest for part two. Again, thanks for listening to the Vasculitis Visionaries podcast. I want to thank our sponsors, Genentech and GSK, for helping make this episode possible. When we come back, it is Dr. William Pendergraft and our good friend Brandon Hudgens joining us right after this. And let's welcome in now Dr. William Pendergraft and Brandon Hudgens for the second time. We can't keep this guy away. We're only like 8 episodes in, Kaylee, to the Vasculitis Visionaries podcast, and we're already having repeat guests. But you know what, Brandon, he's worth it. Okay, he's our friend. He's got a great story, and he's going to contribute a lot to this podcast episode today. I know, Kaylee, you're excited to have him back on with us.
Absolutely. How often do you get to speak to both a GPA vasculitis patient and a professional athlete? It's a pretty amazing combination.
Yeah, no, I'd say so. We're just trying to make Brandon blush from his couch in North Carolina. I can feel it through our magic of Skype recording. We'll get to Brandon in a minute. I want to start though with you, Dr. Pendergraft, with the unique relationship you and Brandon have, and we spent so much of our first part of this episode talking about what you and Dr. McGregor have done at your practice and how you've really tried to have a great knowledge of vasculitis and then also be able to apply some of the methods you've learned throughout your integrative practice as a way to supplement a lot of current treatments. So I'm curious, as far as your relationship with Brandon goes, first off, knowing Brandon, were you required to run a sub 8-minute mile before you could start taking care of him? Was that a prerequisite on your end?
Basically, I think we had some healthy competition about seeing who could run faster, and somehow I like weaseled my way out of that at right at the end of his visit. So
So a true professional, they're able to. I would have done the same thing. I applaud your technique. So I assume you've known Brandon now for a few years. I'm curious if you could take us through that process. You know, we talked about in the first part of our episode just how so many vasculitis patients are unique in what they present, and how you feel like your clinic is in a position that can really help out. But you have Brandon, who's a guy, he's an incredible athlete, had a lot of problems as far as having relapses post remission. So when did he kind of enter the equation for you? When did you start to see him, and what has that relationship been like?
Yeah. So, you know, I was super fortunate for him to reach out to us. If I remember correctly, kind of after one of the last Vasculitis Foundation meetings from Minnesota. And, you know, our clinic, I don't know if I talked much about it before, but our clinic really focuses on people who have difficult to diagnose and treat conditions, but we're also developing a growing cohort of individuals who either want to live forever, where they want to maintain their longevity, or their current or former collegiate or professional athletes who are looking to really optimize their performance. And, you know, Brandon is really sort of the perfect candidate for all of that, and typifies, you know, kind of a group of patients who are really incredible. I think, you know, the less patients see me, the better, because usually the more we see each other, the more we talk, the more active their disease is, especially for people who are dealing with ANCA vasculitis. And, you know, Brandon and I really just got to know each other and have kind of known each other since then, and have been in discussion around different things. But there's, I think he's a remarkable person in that he's done so much for his own health, and really is in a place where he has been through a lot, but been able to overcome so much. He's sort of like, if it's okay with me saying, he's kind of like the poster person for global pandemics in the United States, in that, you know, there's so much that's going on that's so bad, but there's so much good that can come from it in the end. And I think Brandon's really one of those people. So I haven't been super involved in like managing the granular details of inflammation and things like that, but more just inspired and in awe of what he's been able to do.
Well, I want to carry all of y'all around with me every day. the hype that all of y'all have given me at the beginning of this, I'd like to bottle that up on days I don't want to get out the door. But yeah, to walk everybody through kind of like my side of meeting with Dr. Pendergraf, I got to sit in probably about the last half of his talk at the International Symposium last summer, because of the obligations that some of us had with other things and that were also involved with presenting at the foundation and stuff and doing other things behind the scenes. I had marked it down as one of the things that I had really wanted to make sure that I got to during the symposium last summer, because the integrative medicine thing is something that I've had some desire to get involved in, and for a long time, actually, pretty early on in my vasculitis journey, which is, if you're listening to this for the first time now, I'm 10 days away from my 12-year anniversary. You know, I'm gonna throw a big party, but and have nobody over. But I was kind of starting to see the disjointedness and how everybody treats it, and nobody really treats the whole patient. Everybody's kind of, you know, you've got an ENT, you've got a pulmonologist, you've got a rheumatologist, you've got a, you know, nephrologist, you've got all these different doctors, and they're all kind of treating their areas. Some have, you know, your kidney doctor might not agree with what your rheumatologist is doing for treatment, and then the patient's just kind of stuck in the middle. And we all kind of have the guy that's our quarterback or head coach of our team, but then oftentimes doctors will sometimes put patients in the awkward position of being like, oh, well, I don't think that's right. And I was just kind of really frustrated with it. And I probably about 4 or 5 years ago started looking into the integrative medicine thing, reached out to a couple of people, and honestly just kind of didn't really like what I was hearing from them, because none of them had really had any direct work with vasculitis patients, which, you know, because I think some people kind of looked at it as just a regular autoimmune disease, and not that, you know, because some of them have kind of made claims, I think, that they can't back up. And so I was, of course, initially a little scared of that. And when I saw Dr. Pendergraft's background, when I did a little research on him after the symposium this summer, I was like, well, this guy's worked with my kidney doctor, who is one of the best vasculitis doctors in the country, and Dr. Falk. So I was like, this guy has some hands-on work with patients. Like, and I was having some very specific problems at the time. My disease was in remission, but I was having some iron issues, and my other doctors weren't really wanting to deal with it. And so with what Dr. Pendergraft's practice is set up to do, I was like, I wonder if this guy would be interested in it. So I figured right after the symposium, he was probably getting bombarded with some stuff. So I waited a couple of weeks and reached out, and pretty much immediately got in. And, you know, we met for the first time, and I was so thoroughly impressed with him. And then we've had some email correspondence since then, because like Dr. Pendergraft says, the less you see your doctors, the better, generally the better off they're doing. And I've been doing really, really well, and was, you know, well, we talked about this in the other episode. I was, you know, on track to qualify for the Olympic trials again this summer. Obviously that's all been put on hold right now with the COVID crisis. But, you know, I feel better than I ever have with the changes and stuff that we've made. And, having somebody else on my team that I feel like I can contact and is going to give me a straight answer on stuff and help facilitate the process and talk about the pros and cons of all of it, and spend, I mean, the thing that I was impressed with the most was his bedside manners, and his ability to talk and connect with the patient was just the best that I've ever been around. I've been around a lot of doctors.
I'm really glad you both were able to find each other, especially connecting through via symposium, which I think is pretty special. Brandon, I'd love to hear a little bit more about how your treatment plan has changed, or how your approach to your health has changed since you started meeting with Dr. Pendergraft and kind of really using more of this integrative medicine approach.
Well, it's been a long journey, and I was already kind of down the path. Like, I've every year, every few months, I mean, I'm constantly reading about nutrition, because like, and health and exercise and mental health, like all of that stuff plays a part of your health. And one of the things that I know I talked to Dr. Pendergraft about in our meeting was like, a lot of my disease, I believe, is tied to my mental health and the ways that I treat my body, because seemingly when I've had some of my worst times with my disease, it's also been some of my worst mental health moments, you know. And working on all of that and the nutrition and the taking care of my body, I was already kind of headed down that road, and he just really honestly like reaffirmed a lot of it and kind of just helped me tweak it a little bit and fine tune it. 'Cause that's, you know, I think I was on the right path. And if I wasn't, trying to, as an elite athlete, you're always trying to fine tune that 1 or 2 or 3%. As you do the other 95% of the bulk work of training hard and everything else, you're trying to do the little tweaks. And he really, really just helped tweak some things. And helped just set me on the right path and let me know. And like, he reinforced a lot of really good ideas that I was already taking care of. And it's good to hear somebody with his background knowledge and his work with patients and stuff that I wasn't crazy for doing what I was doing and everything else.
You're not crazy, Brandon. It's okay. I can assure you of that. I think you said earlier you felt bad. You missed the first part of his chat at the VF symposium last summer in Minneapolis. I think it was because you were in the middle of a young adult group discussion. So it's my fault that you missed part of that speech that Dr. Pendergast gave. So my bad. Sorry about that, but I'm glad at least it has obviously worked out for you too in the long run. And you know, kind of bouncing back to you, Dr. Pendergast, I wonder, and again, we talked about more generally just some of the strategies that you at your clinic have employed and you know, as you apply it to a guy like Brandon, it is, we all know, such a unique case that he's had, but in what ways did you adapt a lot of those principles that you've studied to specifically fit his needs? And just knowing that, as he just said, he's coming up on almost 12 years of being diagnosed and has had a lot of ups and downs and back and forths on his respective journey.
Let me first say too, as a board certified real doctor, that Brandon's definitely not crazy. He's an amazing guy. I think a lot of it was really around affirmation, kind of like we've talked about before. The integrative approach really combines conventional medicine with complementary and alternative techniques. And, you know, the conventional part for us is really making sure that patients with vasculitis are really in long-term durable remission and that they're not setting themselves up to flare or do things that could make the disease process worse, but to do it in a way that's not dangerous or toxic or fraught with side effects and sort of up-to-date and evidence-based based on what we see in ongoing clinical trial work. The other component on the complementary alternative side is really encompasses all sorts of different things, and it can be very complex but also very simple. And for Brandon, you know, he's really doing all the things and that we would want. And he's really a good model for, you know, if there are people listening to this podcast who are dealing with vasculitis and are looking for someone who's really implementing integrative approaches, I think he's a perfect person to sort of bounce ideas off of and to learn from. Because, you know, the extreme example would be someone who is really going through this inflammatory process that isn't well controlled, but is also not necessarily combining a lot of healthy habits in terms of diet and nutrition and lifestyle. And that really can change how someone's doing. So, you know, I think many of us have seen that movie, Super Size Me, where the guy whose name I think is Morgan Spurlock is like this awesome guy and then decides to eat at McDonald's every day for a year. And even for someone who doesn't have an autoimmune thing that they're dealing with, like him, you know, if you put that kind of stuff in your body, you're going to feel terrible. And if you have an inflammatory condition that makes you feel bad and are doing things that can make you feel even worse, then it's just kind of the perfect storm. And so kind of adopting, you know, integrative approaches to working on nutrition and lifestyle and even complementary and alternative techniques, as simple as things like massage, you know, can really turn down the rheostat on the inflammatory process that's ongoing. So Brandon was all over that.
I'm going to say my addiction to French fries might not be helping me so much is what I'm hearing.
They have to be from organic potatoes that are fried in avocado oil. That can't be like McDonald's French fries.
Darn it. Well, I'll have to get on that.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, I mean, Dr. Pendergraf, you know, with Brandon, obviously you had someone who already is very much prioritizing his health, is already, as you mentioned, making these decisions and these choices to really pursue, you know, a healthy diet, a healthy living, all of those kind of lifestyle choices. But is that usually the case with your patients? How do you evaluate that when your patients are first coming in to see if there could be behavioral changes they could make kind of right off the bat?
Well, we always try and talk through it just to get a sense of what people are doing on a daily basis. You know, are they super stressed? Probably 90% of the patients we see, if they have something going on. So when a patient comes in and has a medical issue, we call that a chief complaint. And 90% of the people who come in with a chief complaint, whatever that may be, if it's insomnia or joint pain or trouble breathing, much of that is almost always attributed to stress. And if you can eliminate every molecule of stress in your life, then you tend to feel a lot better. But that's a very tall order and super hard to do, especially right now during a pandemic. So, you know, stress is part of it. And then getting a sense of what people are eating, what types of fluids they're drinking. We know that, you know, alcohol can really affect sleep. And if we're not getting good sleep, then we're not able to really rest and recuperate every night. And then kind of lifestyle habits, you know, what sort of exercise is possible? Are people moving? You know, with sore joints, even though they can be sore, and many of us have dealt with that, the more we're able to move, the less they can hurt. And really, you know, using sore joints as an example, there are lots of things we put in our body that cause inflammation of the GI tract that can then lead to more joint inflammation. So a common example is a class of vegetables called nightshade vegetables, where many individuals, when they eat nightshade vegetables, can actually have joint pain. And just by eliminating that class of vegetables from the diet, people can notice that their joint pain, you know, may not completely go away, but can definitely improve. And it's not a guarantee for everyone, but for the people in whom that's helpful, it's really transformational. So it's even little things like that. But once we get a sense of what people are doing, then we can work on making modifications. And sometimes it takes really intense disease activity where people are worried and hurting and not feeling well to make these transformational changes that can actually really be life-changing and for the better.
Yeah, no, that is really interesting. And I know you were saying earlier, Dr. Pendergraf, looking at Brandon's example, and for patients listening to this, they should, you know, they can use his story as, you know, just a great way to apply to themselves, see what, be inspired by him. And we also have a lot of medical professionals also who listen to this podcast. And I think it's something you bring up that's worth pointing out, how I think a lot of, especially general professionals who are learning more about vasculitis or have maybe, you know, a fringe interest or they don't know as much. You look at the big picture when a lot of times, as you're saying, it's there are easy, small steps you can take that can, while not obviously solving everything, we can't really do that. They can at least make things a little bit better. So it's good that you bring up. I'm now, you know, I have no regrets over the barbecue meal that Kaylee and I got in Kansas City, but I'm at least, you know, I like to think of myself as a pretty healthy guy in general, but I think it's something that we can all get better at, no matter how healthy you are. And, you know, I think you look at Brandon, you're a guy, you're always trying to get to that next echelon, that next step, especially you think about peak performance and how that can translate to everything. And, you know, I look at what's happening now, and we're in this COVID crisis, and it's something that has threatened all of us just from a variety of different ways, but especially too when you think about your health and trying to prioritize that. These are all things that can certainly help with that. I wonder, Brandon, on your end, I mean, this has obviously been a tough time. We had you on our podcast with a couple other young adults a few weeks ago at this point to talk about that and how you were dealing with it. But, you know, from your case specifically and how you've maybe applied some of those things that Dr. Pendergraft has gone over with you, how has that carried over then to a time like this where you've got to be vigilant and you've got to try and do everything that can kind of stack the chips on your side of the table, so to speak?
I'm going to actually probably give a little bit longer answer than this than you want, because I want to kind of highlight something that Dr. Pendergraft said and kind of reinforce what he was just talking about. And if I'm smart enough, I think I can transition this into answer your question. But one thing that I was so impressed with is like the time that Dr. Pendergraft spent with me. I've had doctors that I've been with for years that I have not spent the amount of time that I just spent with him in the office on one day. And he did. He took the time to listen to everything that I was doing and going through what I was doing with myself, whether it was sleep, whether it was how I was mitigating and handling my stress patterns, through meditation and mindfulness practices, to all of my diet stuff. Like, we went through all of that. And, there's several of my doctors that I've had for years that I haven't spent the actual time in a room with, that I have spent with Dr. Pendergraft. So, and it's an ongoing process, and you're always tweaking and always learning. And as you pay attention to yourself, like the thing about movement, and I gave a talk on it at the symposium this past summer, and I talk about it at all of our little VF chapter meetings in North Carolina. And doctor after doctor after doctor has backed this up with me. And it's like I tell patients all the time, if you are going to feel bad laying in bed, you might as well get up and do something that's good for your body. If you're going to feel bad and you're run down and things hurt, and they're going to hurt whether you're laying in bed or not, then you might as well get up and go do something. You might as well get up and do some sort of exercise, whether it's a walk around the block, whether it's just walking up and down the stairs in your house once or twice. Do something, because making those little changes can have drastic impacts on your health. And somebody that like Dr. Pendergraft, this is an integrative medicine doctor that's really going to take the time to examine all of the things you're doing instead of just making a blatant statement like, hey, you should try exercising. Or reaching out to a coach, or reaching out to somebody like myself that, has a background in vasculitis and also coaching athletes. So, there's plenty of resources out there. But I think because of my involvement with my own care over the years, it's prepared me to handle this COVID crisis very well. I mean, vasculitis patients have been immunosuppressed, so we've been used to washing our hands. We've been used to covering our coughs. We've been used to staying away from people. We've been used to quarantining ourselves at times. So we were kind of, built for this sort of pandemic, honestly. It's kind of crazy to look at, so many of us went through this on our own when the rest of the country or the world wasn't going through this. And we suffered in silence, and that's why a lot of us have mental health issues. And, right now, everybody's kind of in this together, and I think there's a lot of strength in that. But at the same time, there's also people that are also still struggling with that. And I think actually right now, we as patients can actually be there more for the general community, because we've been through these types of things, and we've had to deal with the isolation. We've had to deal with being super careful. We've had to deal with our life and our plans for the next several months or the next several years just being completely uprooted and changed. So these are all things that are not new to us as patients. We've been dealing with them. If you've had vasculitis for, even just a year, like, your life has completely changed. And that's what everybody in the world's dealing with right now. And I think we actually have some skill sets and some tools that are useful finally.
think it's really interesting that you bring that up, because I actually, I think, had mentally blocked the part where I had self-isolated after I got diagnosed. Like, I was just drinking a Tovaquone alone in my room, you know, just worried about getting infected. So I think that's a really interesting point, and it explains why I might be dealing with this a little bit differently than I think the rest of my family is. So that is interesting to think about. I think just to start wrapping us up here, I'd just like to hear from both of you what success really looks like. I think for me, what success has looked like is really just focusing completely on my clinical measures and that sort of demonstrable data. But I think that there's, as you both mentioned, really another whole level of what can be evaluated. So I would just love to hear about that and how you define success.
I'll go first, if that's okay, Brandon. I think,
yes,
I mean, Brandon, you know, the comments that come from you that emanate from your brain are inspirational. And I think it, just before I talk about success, I think it brings up another interesting point, which is that, you know, something I've noticed as a clinician that hopefully many of you will also recognize is that, you know, there's stress that comes with just being a human and things that happen to us growing up and during our lives. But something that strikes me with a lot of my patients with vasculitis and other autoimmune conditions is how traumatizing the whole experience of sort of, you know, diagnostic delay and being diagnosed and then being treated with big gun immunosuppressants, the level of trauma that can bring can really, in my opinion, weigh on folks. And even that is something from an integrative standpoint that I think is super important and something that, you know, we have a giant toolkit filled with techniques of ways to sort of take all of those stumbling blocks along the journey of the disease and really turn them into stepping stones. And I think that's super important in terms of an additional component to really effective treatment. And in terms of just the success part, you know, that's a big part of it. But I also think long-term durable remission is key. You know, we don't say the C word, which is cure, but I think that is a place where many of us in the field want to get one day, but at least getting to long-term durable remission. And really what it comes down to is something I've sort of mentioned before, which is it's not really about the labs and the numbers and the clinical parameters that we use to say that a patient's in remission, but it's really about the patient and how they feel. And you know, the less I see a patient, the less I hear from them, and the more they're doing in their lives that brings them joy, that and where they feel good is really what I think success is. And if we can get people there, then we know that you know, it's not necessarily that we're doing the right thing, but that patients are doing what's right and learning how to heal and feel well. And that we're just sort of on the sidelines, keeping people within the white lines and headed down, you know, future roads to wellness and happiness.
I would 100% agree with that. I mean, I think success for myself is being healthy and being able to live the lifestyle that I want to live. And I think that's, it should be every patient's goal and every doctor's goal with their patients is given the parameters of their disease, no matter what it is or their condition, that they can live and operate in this world the way that they want to without the restrictions. I mean, maybe that, you know, I know for me, it's like, you know, just being able to do the things that I love, and participate and chase dreams and, you know, be a productive member of our society and our planet. And, you know, participating in all of that is ultimately like the goal. And when you are, you know, in a really bad flare or, you know, really struggling with major health issues and can't get out of bed or can't get to work or can't do the things that you really love, then you're not going to be mentally healthy. And then it's going to be hard for you to be physically healthy as well. And so until you can take those first steps on that journey to getting your life back, I think you're going to unfortunately continue to be unhealthy. But kind of taking that power back and getting the ability to have, I mean, you can't control everything in life, and we're seeing that right now with this pandemic, but getting it to where, you know, most days you lay your head down at night to go to sleep and you can smile about how your day went. I think that's the biggest marker of success and that you could possibly have.
Really, really well said by both of you. And I feel like, to your point, Brandon, I mean, there's that sense of like post diagnosis, it's somewhat of a sunk cost. If you think about, you know, your health and the fact that you're probably never, at least for me being diagnosed as a 20-year-old, like, you know, I was never going to get back to my peak 18-year-old athletic being, but at the same time, wanting to get to a point where I could actually broadcast games and be able to, you know, breathe to the point where I could live out my career, even if that isn't exactly 100% of my absolute peak physical power, so to speak. I mean, it's still good enough. And I think that's sometimes a mental block that patients can struggle with. And I think, you know, sometimes I'm not sure how I don't want to speak for medical professionals, but that can sometimes be an issue as well. You think, well, how can we get this person all the way back? Sometimes it might not be possible, but as we've been talking about here over the last couple episodes, with what Dr. Pendergraft has described, there's a lot of things you can do that they can get you close. And I think a lot of times it can be good enough. I mean, I feel maybe 90 to 95%, and that's allowed me to continue my career and been able to have success. And I've come to terms with that and I feel satisfied with it. So I appreciate both of you kind of going long-winded on that topic. And it's been, I feel like this, the second part of the episode, just like the first part, has been, will be really beneficial for all of our listeners, whether you're a patient or a medical professional as well. I know we're starting to run out of time, but Brandon, I wanted you to tell us about your podcast as well before we have to wrap up, because I know you just started a relatively, well, you've had this venture going on for a while, but I know now you've kind of expanded it. So just tell us about that quickly.
Yeah, so I've been hosting, the podcast is called Going the Distance Live. I had been doing it live on Facebook for about a year, year and a half, and I would answer patients' questions, other runners' questions, people would kind of log on and log off. But with my work schedule and training schedule and everything, doing the live thing every week kind of just never worked out. For the long run, and I wanted to do some other things. I wanted to interview some people and really have some of the conversations that like we're having now. And the first two episodes are now up on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, kind of wherever, Stitcher, any of the places that you're going to get a podcast. But it's called Going the Distance Live. The first two episodes are up right now. I interviewed Kate Tierney for the first one, and Allison Ross for the second one. Both of them are vasculitis patients. Both of them have unique and very different stories, as almost all of us do. And, you know, I plan to have on a few more patients here in the coming weeks, and then kind of expand beyond that and highlight some other cool and interesting and inspirational stories. You know, it's going to kind of run the gamut, but I kind of want to plow through. That's probably the wrong word, but I kind of want to highlight some really cool patient stories that I've had the opportunity to meet and be inspired by over my last like 4 or 5 years being involved with the foundation. So check it out.
Absolutely. Well, and Kate Tierney and Allison Ross, they've been on this podcast as well. So you're
yes, they have.
And we're all we all know each other pretty well, all good friends. So it's a good idea. I might have to bribe you, try to get to Kaylee or I on your podcast.
Yeah, well, I was about to say to the two of the people on my list of people to contact might be on this podcast right now.
Okay. So, all right, fingers crossed. We'll hope.
Ben, it's not you, Ben.
Oh, all right. Well,
don't hold your breath, Ben.
Well, you know, it might as well put me back in my place. It's probably a good thing. Keep the ego in check. This has been so fun. I feel like I say this every time. I wish we could go longer with these episodes, especially thanks to Dr. Prendergraft. You've been really a fantastic guest for us, and not only for this particular part of the episode, but also your contributions with Dr. McGregor. I want to thank you guys again for being such a big part of this and for sharing a little bit more about your process. I think I've learned a lot over the last couple installments we've done here. So thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys. Really appreciate it.
And to Brandon, of course, thank you as well. You've been a fixture in the community, and I'm sure this will not be the last we hear of you on this podcast. So thank you as well.
Yeah, hopefully people aren't getting tired of me yet.
It's early. It's early. Give him some time, Brandon. We'll check in on that in a while. We'll take a break here. We'll again thank Drs. Prendergraft and thank Brandon Hudgens for joining us on the Vasculitis Visionaries podcast. Kaylee and I will have some thoughts. Be back right after this to wrap things up. All right, Ben and Kaylee, back with you on the Vasculitis Visionaries podcast. Just a really cool two-part episode we got to do, and we break these up into parts, and this one was so we could get kind of that doctor perspective on integrative health, and then also the application to a patient in Brandon Hudgens, who we've known him for a while, Kaylee, and he's had a great story, and it speaks a lot to physicians like Dr. Prendergraft, who are so dedicated to their craft, who have been able to do just so much for people in our community. And it was really great to hear, you know, the contrasting and complementary styles that both the doctors we had on this episode talked about and how it applied to Brandon. I just found that all fascinating.
Absolutely. And I think that what was really important to me particularly is that I think with autoimmune disorders, it's already difficult because your pain is not visible. You know, like anything that you're going through, it's very hard to tell that you're sick. And I think going even beyond that and having that conversation about like beyond your titers, beyond your measures, what's your emotional state like? What's your mental state like? And how does that contribute to your health? And I think that's just, you know, an extra layer on top of these invisible illnesses that we talk about. So I think it was really just fascinating and really a good perspective.
Yeah. And it's something that people historically haven't thought about as much. And it's something that, as we're seeing now, certainly should be put at the forefront in a lot of cases. It's been another great episode. We want to thank again Dr. Will Prendergraft and Brandon Hudgens, our guests, for making the time. Again, you can catch up on all of our current podcast episodes if you missed any of them through wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. We want to thank as well our sponsors Genentech and GSK for helping make this podcast series possible. For Kaylee, I'm Ben, saying so long. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll catch you next time right here on the Vasculitis Visionaries podcast.